Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Don't mind me for laughing. This is the second time I've said all this. With the Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're all having a great week so far, and I hope you have an even better week to follow. Hi, Pam. Glad you took me off
mute.
I'm sitting saying hello to everybody, and I'm like, wait, it says unmuted. What is that? Oh my God! It's going to be one of them nights.
Well, yeah, I'm looking, and it was a little quiet, and I'm looking at the studio, and I'm like, oh look, she's on mute.
God forbid I should unmute myself. I mean, I only have the capability, but why would I want to do that? Oh my God! You know, it's so funny, Pam. I told you earlier today I had an intro song for tonight, right? And I put up one called Listen to Your Heart or Listen with Your Heart. And, you know, I had told you, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay. And I opened up the topic board, and I went, Jean, you are so stupid. The image says with your heart. And I went, oh, man. So I went back over real quick, and I looked, hunted up another song.
Well, you know, and it worked. I mean, Gloria Estefan is great.
Exactly. That's what I said. I said, well, thank you, Gloria Estefan, for having us sitting out here for me. But, yeah, so I said, well, it works for me. So I was happy. It was pretty funny. You know,
That's all that is.
I went, what are you doing, Jean? You don't even know what the name of your own show is tonight. It's pretty scary. You know. And I didn't have to tell everybody that. So just keep in mind, at least I was being honest.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Absolutely.
So,
but I mean, you know, see with your heart, listen with your heart, look with your heart, all that stuff is a great concept. Wonderful prompt.
I only changed it because it was a matter of principle, really. You know, I have to say, Pam, I agree with you. I had that picture probably tucked away in a folder for like forever, really, years. And I'm not even sure if maybe I used it once before, or I put it up in the room once before, I think. I don't know what I did, but I did something with it. And I was like, you know what? It's so basic. It's so simple. It's such a simple concept that really is a wonderful concept. And I said, you know, let me put it out there and see what happens. So I was kind of glad to see we got, you know, a decent response on it. Because, you know, sometimes we all just have to kind of stop, take a deep breath, and kind of really remember what it's all about. You know, it's not about chasing things that are, you know, a big house, big car, big this, big that, you know, whatever. Big deal. That's what I say. You know, it's the smaller things are really what are most important in life a lot of times. So, you know, I don't know. That's the way I see things. Of course, it's nice to have money and a big car and a big house, but it's not necessarily going to make you a happy person. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having that kind of stuff, but in the end, I mean, it really is about the quality of life and your relationships and, you know, just the simple moments. So absolutely.
Yep.
And
I think
that was the kind of quote that reflected that.
Yeah, and I love that image. No matter what the quote was that somebody put on it, that image to me is just delightful.
Oh, my goodness.
That face and that pose, right down to the hat, right down to the fedora, because I think it's a fedora. If it's not, I'm sure somebody will be happy to tell me. But it's just such a wonderful image to me, because there's so much heart and soul that kind of shines through in it, so. I'm just glad that people were inspired, you know, we could do that anyway. But, yeah, so that's about that for me and my friends. Yes, absolutely. And I don't know, it could be a quiet night, but that's all right. We just have to read slow, okay?
Read
slow.
And comment and, you know,
maybe sing
and dance. You just never know.
You can sing. I'll dance. It's okay. Yep, it's a compromise for me. You sing, I'll dance.
You can do the interpretive dancing of my singing.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, my dancing is made for radio. Yes, way more than
my
singing.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of singing, I got to tell you, this is so funny. So my 7-year-old niece has developed this severe hatred of chickens. She absolutely cannot stand even seeing chickens on TV. She just flips out. So my sister posts on Facebook that they asked my niece, Aurora, why she hates chickens. And instead of just responding, this little drama queen breaks out into a song on why she hates chickens.
My God. Oh, my God. That's funny. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, we all have our different quirks. You know, you wonder sometimes what's part of them. You know, we all have things we don't like, but that's a pretty funny one. She hates chickens. Well, you know, why not, right? Why not?
Yes, exactly. The irony will be if she grows up to marry a chicken farmer.
I don't think that'll happen if she holds true to herself. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think the guy stands a chance. Yeah. And if you don't want her to visit, just put some chickens, put them all around the house. You're good. My food's good.
Yep.
I know. I'm big.
Oh, too funny.
So,
but yeah,
anyway,
definitely got a
what else do we have going on? It's Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Tuesday, August 8th. Wow. Where has this year gone? My grandson goes back to school on the 24th. I can't believe that. It's like, wow, we're already like blowing through summer. What is this?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, it's just amazing to me. I know they say the older you get, the faster the years roll by. You know, but they say time flies when you're having fun. I have not found this to be too much fun. So we should be, like, really, like, just dragging our feet through every year. So somebody help me with that, okay? Can't be both ways.
Yeah, right?
Can't have it both ways. So, anyway, yeah. I am just silly as I'll get out. I swear to God I am. Simple. Okay. Well, I don't know, Pam. What do you think? You think we should start up and get going?
Sure.
That's what she says. Sure, she says. Okay. Well, I'm going to get you to read the first one. And this could turn out to bite me in the butt because I'll have you read the first one and it might throw me into something complex for the third one.
You just never know.
I know. Okay, this is called It's Gonna Happen by Matt 29. So, there it goes.
If I truly believe, then it will happen. The tree will open a doorway. I will be able to flee my wicked stepmother, escape into the tree and far below into my world of make-believe, where I can never be shouted at again. I will feel safe and wanted. Fairies will look after me. I can play games and have fun. Time will stand still forever. Never again will I have to clean horseshoes or polish the silver swords and shields. Here I can be free from chores and shouting, find a haven away from adults and boredom, where anything and everything is possible. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. I like this poem. I do. I like the creativity of it and the story told. You know, it kind of took you, it took me someplace I wasn't expecting to go. You know, if I truly believe, then it will happen. The tree will open a doorway. I will be able to flee my wicked stepmother. And, you know, that's an interesting take on the actual prompt image because I never thought about, you know, that as being a possible doorway. I think it's a neat take on the image. You know, escape into the tree and far below into my world of make-believe where I can never be shouted out again. You know, taking that as the safe route, you know, like this imaginary doorway just giving you an escape from the troubles and the trials of life. I think that's a wonderful concept and a very clever way of looking at things. So very creative, Matt, that's for sure, and I really like this piece very much. So excellent job. And Matt was the first one to write for this contest. He was.
Oh, nice.
I appreciate that. Yep, absolutely. So what did you think of it, Pam?
You know, I have to agree when you said creative because It definitely was. It was a response I wasn't expecting. It was a wonderful story, right? And it brought out of a mix of emotions. Like, you know, at first I thought, oh, no, this poor abused child. But then as I got to the end and I read the end, I thought, you know what? I think this is actually about, you know, how every child has that moment in their life where they feel like, you know, having to do chores and, you know, life is boring. Adults always demand so much. And, you know, if only I could run away, but I don't want to run away too far. But,
right.
You know, it just was a clever and fun write and very well done.
Absolutely, I agree with that, 100%. Absolutely. Oof. Okay, let me see now. Where? Okay, I know where we're going next. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Never Judge a Book by Its Cover, Edward Scissorhands, the movie, by Jaskaran. So I'm going to put that up, and I have an audio on that one, so this will be good. Here goes. It's in the room. Let me hit the button. Buttons. Button. Who's got the button? Okay, here goes.
Never Judge a Book by Its Cover. It's easy. Look at it well and pass the judgment. What is present and pass. What is really amazed at the pain and tears a single man hides. Is the gentle soul who parties her from the painting of the nude in a world of another, from the wind. Adverse is hand, the movie. The best I can do is not do harm. My childhood, unfolding in the darkness, badness. What a thought for this is, but so flakes, dream of good. My skin, feeling like burnt marshmallow, pain, hallucinating, feeling embers. Till the best I will do, will not do harm. Even when I had moved, open to eager-bound hands, I felt bound by eyes, looking into vision who had died, searching her wonder road. The psychic cupid, friend, twice a tear, soon after, and follow the journey with one present, and lead down to the heart. And even all the mind of desire to do good, I could see myself cutting deeper into him, with great, covered in his blood, like a fluttering green dove, with the color of a gown turning pale, and flowers dance in sorrow. I want to fall in love with me, but my heart laid on the ground, being crowned, like leaves, reflects of gold, gently dance over the earth, the tree is laid bare. And there are many cutters whose lines are scars, the warm paint of burn, pulled down on a scratch of wind, and when they grab it, with hope and good intention, it is built. And thus, I can do and not do harm. Thank you.
Great piece. Really, really well written by Jaskaran. You want to start us off, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to. First of all, I like that he was inspired by, like, that the quote made him think of that movie, which I do have to say is just, I think, one of the all-time most beautiful movies as far as the message of, as his title says, never judge a book by its cover. The imagery and the metaphors are just amazing in this all the way through. And I like that it's a tribute to the movie, but it doesn't just, like, describe the movie. It describes the feeling behind it, and to me really speaks on the idea of wanting to be loved for yourself. And I really like it all the way through, but I especially like with this, my childhood unfolding into lifeless wilderness. What I thought were faces were snowflakes chilling my bone, my skin smelling like burnt marshmallow, pain hallucinating, glowing embers, so the best I could do was not to do harm. Oh my goodness, those lines that capture the idea of a child, someone who grew up in an abusive childhood and then grew up to become someone who didn't want to put people through the same pain that they went through. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. You know, I like this piece by Jaskaran. You know, you don't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, anyone who's ever been kind of shunned or snubbed or what have you because they didn't look like everybody else or they didn't act like everyone else or they didn't come across just like everyone else can kind of relate to this in a way, you know, in a bit, you know, some more than others. And think that he did a great job expressing that. You know, even when I held books open to eager brown hands, I felt brown doe eyes looking into brilliant blue headlights, searching for wondrous words to strike a cupid, friends to wipe my tears, share my laughter, and follow their journey with bumps and bends. Just really, really, you know, nicely put together. So thank you so much, Jess Grant, as always, for sharing with us. I really enjoyed this piece. And hey, Laurent, how goes it?
Hey, Laurent.
I have a reluctant phone tonight. I have to hit it three times before it responds.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Jeez. Most
the uprising is the uprising of technology.
That's right. That's right. Did you happen to hear Jess Grant's piece?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I called, the first thing I heard before anything else was, my skin smelling like burnt marshmallows to the voice
oh,
of
yeah.
Pam, and I wondered, do I have the right show? I wasn't sure. But yes, I had a chance to read it. It's his home. A lot of truths in this. I could feel myself cutting deeper into him with blades covered in his blood like a fluttering, bleeding dove, with the color of the ground turning pale and flowers drenched in sorrow. Wow. But, you know, you can't read words like that and not feel the emotion contained, as it is all the way through. I didn't hear the original, but gave it a quick scan. Very impressive.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'm thanking him for his excellent share, and then I'm going to hit a button. Again, I'm always hitting buttons. You ever notice that?
Who's got your button?
I know. That's what I wondered that. I was wondering, because I've lost a few buttons in my day. Okay. Let's.
And I won't tell you where they were found.
No, we don't want to go there. Lorenzen, since you're hot off the press here, we're going to have you read the next one.
What am I, freshly minted? Is that it?
Kinda.
Okay.
Kinda. You're not exhausted yet, like me and Pam. We've been working for 20 minutes.
Yeah, and hard, too. I saw this guy.
I know. It's terrible. Okay, this piece is Daniel Duhame, and it's called Ninja Warrior. So, if you would be so kind.
Ninja Warrior by Daniel Duhame. Trained to use the third eye to attack enemies, using only the sound unheard from deep inside, pinpoint his opponents through intuitive receptors inside his heart. No one is best yet, even blindfolded because of unnatural forces. Every shogun wanted to hire him as an assassin, but Chen Wei refused the honor because his mantra was one of peace. Unless given a situation to use it. He lived the life of a Buddhist monk, sworn to peace that lives in his soul, and trained to hear the sounds of everything around him. He could listen to the trees, the plants, animals, just by opening up his mind to the voices only he could hear. End poem.
Nice read, Laura. Pam? You want to start us off?
I
was going to say, I'm going to try not to start every comment with you, but you know, for now, it works.
Oh, well, works for me. But I like this. It reminds me of, you remember that TV show, what was it called? I think it was called Kung Fu. Remember with
yeah.
this guy who was, as a childhood, childhood raised by monks, and then
yeah.
again there was, you know, yep, it reminds me of that. It's very entertaining. It also kind of reminds me of the those kind of B-rated type kung fu movies, you know, that you think of from the 1970s and 80s. And it's entertaining in that quality. And but then it also has a nice serious message. You know, the idea of a warrior who chooses the path of peace and will only use his martial arts skills if the situation calls for it. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Nice, Pam. Yeah, I thought this piece was really good. It was kind of a clever take on the prompt, you know, see with your heart. Because, you know, he's speaking of, the third eye and drawing your strength from inside and not relying on your vision. It's drawing up from inside of you, you know, pulling from that well, so to speak. And I thought that was really clever because I don't know that I would have thought to do that, but it totally works. You know, I just thought it was well connected to the prompt. Maybe not the little boy, but definitely the concept of see with your heart. So, Dan, I think you did a great job with this. Train to use the third eye to attack enemies, using only the sound unheard from deep inside to pinpoint his opponents through intuitive receptors inside his heart. No one could best him, even blindfolded, because of unnatural forces. It's a whole kind of thing there, you know. People who can't see draw into from their other senses, and it all kind of runs together, I think. So excellent work. Thanks, Dan. And Laurent, what did you think of this?
Well, I was hugely impressed. And Pam mentioned the Kung Fu TV series. You know, I think that the series and Daniel drew from the same well. Mm-hmm. The Buddhist philosophy, you know, doesn't change from person to person who becomes familiar with it. They understand what it's all about. So all the things that Daniel listed are the absolute truth of the Buddhist monk, what he has achieved by way of mind and body control.
Right.
It also was the basis of the Kung Fu. I mean, David Carradine, to me, exemplified that. And I can see him. I love the series. I can see a little bit of each show in one of the lines that Daniel wrote. So he didn't copy it by any stretch, but he verbalized the philosophy wonderfully.
Yep. Okay, Grasshopper.
Ooh.
I still to this day tell my children when they get impatient about something, patience, Grasshopper.
See?
And they just look at me like I...
You know, there was something about that show that kind of sticks with you a bit, you know? It kind of, I don't know. I think because it had such a, I don't know. Anyway, I'll be quiet.
Well, very much in line with the counterculture revolution of the time.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, so intriguing, though. Okay, so Pam, I have the next piece for you. This is by Nan529, and it's called I Love You. I know you love me, too. It's okay. Yeah, Pam says sometimes.
Toleration is a wonderful...
I heard that, Laurent.
No, I intended you to.
I know you. Dirty dog.
I love you by Nan529. I can feel your energy tingling in my fingertips, surging deep inside of me. I know you tremble. Roots of ivy covers your bark, feeling soft, slipping through my fingers. Closing my eyes, I hear bird songs piercing my ears. I want to wrap my small arms around you, tell you everything is all right, but I know it isn't. It hurts my heart to feel your fears, worries, pain, but know this, it's only an airplane passing by overhead. So hush, my dear friend, know I too comfort you. As a child of nature, I feel for you. My world is changing. It's changing for you too. Please ask the fairies to help us. I beg you, with my hand on my heart, I promise I love you. And poem.
Yeah. Great read, Pam. Real nice. Laurent, you want to kick us off on this one? Wow.
Yeah, the beginning is drawn very strongly from the image. I can feel your energy tingling in my fingertips, surging deep inside of me. You know, you tremble. roots of ivy covers your bark, feeling soft, slipping through my fingers. Closing my eyes, I hear bird songs piercing my ears. That particular stanza tells me what it's like to see with your heart. So it's a great way to introduce the piece. And then the tone changes to that of a mother. She wants to wrap my small arms around you, tell you everything is all right, but I know it isn't. And on down through to the end. And it changes again at the end. It's a lovely progression of communicating with nature and having it twist around and be between two people. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. I totally love this piece. I found it very endearing. The connection that she portrays between the tree and the boy, I just thought was absolutely wonderful. The compassion that the boy is speaking to the tree. I want to wrap my small arms around you and tell you everything is all right, but I know it isn't. It hurts my heart to feel your fears, worries, and pain. But know this, it's only an airplane passing overhead. That is, like, to me, that's very, it's almost tear-jerking because, if trees could talk, if trees could communicate, there has to be things that terrify them that go on in this world in more ways than one. But I do. I really appreciate this right very much. So, Nan, I think you did a fabulous job, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. I really give you heads up, a high five on that one. Great job. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was amazing. Okay, now the next one.
Dean, did you want me to comment on this one?
Oh, Pam, hey, shut up, Pam.
Fatality.
Sure, Pam. Yeah, you read it. That's why I was leaving you for last, and then I just kind of forgot. Sorry.
Well, it's such a beautiful poem. I could tell you were really just caught up in it, and I don't blame you at all because, wow, what a great take on the prompt. It's beautiful. Emotive. I like how it speaks from the perspective of a child offering comfort and love, and you can really, to the tree, but it could really be in the voice of anyone who understands nature and understands the plight that Mother Nature goes through. And this really, oh my goodness, the communication here. It is so moving, and the empathy that is expressed is absolutely beautiful. I want to wrap my small arms around you, tell you everything is all right, but I know it isn't. It hurts my heart to feel your fears, worries, pain. I mean, those truly are moving lines and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with everything that both of you said. It was just a really cool piece.
Well, Pam is correct. It depends on the perspective, and it could be anyone. She's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It just kind of got me lost there. Hey, thanks for commenting on that piece. I appreciate that very much. I should have thought of that. It would have been a clever idea. Good thing you speak up, otherwise I'd have just kept going. The next piece I'm going to put up is called Memories Don't Hug Back by Julie Buck. So I'm going to read this one. And let's see now. Memories Don't Hug Back by Julie Buck. Today is my mom's first birthday. Since being dead, that beautiful woman is never out of my head. I can only touch her, though, through a memory, but memories don't hug back. I've even screamed to release some pain, to view things more clearly. Nothing can ever again be the same. I know I own my benign mistakes, but nobody's ever owned a cancerous shame. It's not a bad thing to not see when your eyes are open, nor is it a bad thing to see when they are closed. I'm seeing you now. My stinging tears are lemon tart. I'm seeing you now using only my heart and home. And Laurent, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I was a little uncertain about the poem when it first started because today is my mom's first birthday since being dead. It struck me as a little abrupt. But then as I proceeded through, I began to see what she was doing. We even screamed to release some pain. You know, one approaches death sometimes very bluntly from grief, you know, and that's, I think, part of the first line, since being dead. But then when she said, I know and own my benign mistakes, but nobody's ever owned the cancer of shame, I began to see what she was doing. It's not a bad thing to not see when your eyes are open, nor is it a bad thing to see when they are closed. And she just brought the whole thing to a ringing conclusion with that last stanza. I'm seeing you now, my stinging ears are lemon tart. Seeing you now, using only my heart. That is so tender and so real, the way it's stated, that it becomes very moving, as is the poem.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. And Pam,
that opening line certainly does pack a punch, and I really feel for Julie because I know it's difficult to lose a parent, and then it's especially, well, it's difficult to lose anybody, but then when birthdays and anniversaries and holidays come along, it becomes, you know, even more difficult. It's all because everything that you've put off to the side suddenly comes rushing forward. This is definitely a powerful write on grief and how sometimes grief comes with sadness, but it also at times comes with anger. And the whole idea of, I thought that it was beautiful at the end. I'm seeing you now. My stinging tears are lemon tart. I'm seeing you now using only my heart. You know, that thought that you will no longer physically see somebody, but rather just they are becoming a memory within your heart. So beautiful, mm-hmm. Right? And very well done.
Absolutely. You know, I thought that Julie, this was a nicely expressed piece by her. And well penned to the prompt. It's not quite where I would have thought anybody would go, but it makes perfect sense again. You know, I think, you know, and I am sorry for her loss because I do remember when she lost her mom. I just didn't realize that it was an anniversary kind of thing right around now. But the lines, you know, it's not a bad thing to not see when your eyes are open, nor is it a bad thing to see when they are closed. I'm seeing you now. My stinging tears are lemon tart. I'm seeing you now using only my heart. You know, and yeah, tears can sting like that too. We all know, right? Julie, I think you did a wonderful job with this. And I want to thank you so much for, writing to the prompt and sharing with us all. It was wonderful. So thanks. And Laurent, you started us off? Yes. Yes, you did. I ended because I read. Don't mind me.
Well, thank you for remembering.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. I don't remember. It's awful. But, you know, my brain is all over the place. not usually with it, but it's all over the place. Wow.
Do you take a scattershot approach to life sometimes?
Sometimes. I tell everybody I fly by the seat of my pants. No. The only good thing. Well, never mind. But anyway, Laurent, I'm going to have you read the next piece, and you're gonna like this because you have practice. So whenever you're ready.
Oh, really? Okay. Hang on, I gotta get my glasses.
It was on
text.
Last. Was
blocks
on
of text. Hang on. Hang on.
Wow, it was on last night's show. That's why I say you
I
have
know.
Practice.
Je reconnais le poème, madame. This is called Cœur Cardiovascular. Little splintering spirit, wooden hearths. May they burn in the coziest fireplace, where the mantle no longer holds a face. Little splintered spirit, close your eyes. Feel the warmth travel through your soul, where the heart ignites the love for yourself. Little splintering spirit, spirituality, may they burn like little embers, furnace, where the mantle no longer is the furnace. Little splintered spirits, rejoice within embers, follow through the silent, heartless embers, where those who travel through the flames, so the heart glows through all the pain. Little splintered Eden tree, don't you travel far from me, where the heart may be your heart stone, the veins don't hold what can't be told. Feel the warmth travel through your gravestone, where the heart ignores the love for yourself. Because I've now seen your cardiovascular disease. They may call you diseased, I know you're pleased, because you're the little splintered spirit. You always told me to just run along by end pump.
Nice read, Laurent. And Pam, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I really think it's one of my favorites by Luke. You know, I love the phrase, the repetition of the phrase, little splintering spirit, and then different touch added on each, that wooden heart, spirituality, Elden tree. And I like how it represents, I think, to me, the grief and thankfulness felt when a tree offers up their life so that you can stay warm by the fire. But I also feel that it works metaphorically, you know, especially when he gets to the last stanza where he says, where the heart ignores the love for yourself, because I've now seen your cardiovascular disease. May call you disease, I know you are pleased because you're a little splintered spirit. You always told me to just run along the fires. And I love those lines and how it makes me think of the idea of thinking of a person who offered up warmth and love and was no longer with you. But, you know, there's just such a sense of tenderness within this rite and a sense of I don't know, just almost nostalgic. So and bittersweet as it looks at the imagery. I also really like the line of where the heart may be your hearthstone, the veins don't hold what can't be toned. Feel the warmth travel through your gravestone. You know, it's like the idea of somebody standing right at somebody's headstone and just speaking to them. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
I absolutely agree with Pam. It's a metaphor extended from beginning to end. Little splintering spirit, wooden hearts, and they burn in the coziest fireplace. The mantle no longer holds a face. To me, that works on several different levels. Take it literally, you know, a little piece of wood. And then you fantasize or you personify it by offering it a wooden heart, which then burns in the coziest fireplace, which could be the warm environment of a happy home, your heart, your body, where the mantle no longer holds a face. Sometimes we look into the fire, we see things, and we see faces. Now, it is an invitation, close your eyes, feel the warmth travel through your soul, where the heart ignites the love for yourself. By closing the eyes, and feeling what's inside of you by learning to see your heart, as it were, then you can love others as you love yourself. And the metaphor is carried on through to the end very skillfully, and it is a terrific piece by Luke.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. I think both of you make wonderful comments on this. And, you know, I really enjoyed the piece last night when I heard it then. I thought it was well penned. Each stanza I thought was excellent. I loved the progression of his thoughts through each stanza and how he carried it, that, you know, carried it well, you know, forward. And just a great job and much enjoyed.
That last line, You always told me to just run along the fires. Is there an implication there that he ran through the fires? I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems like, you know, someone, to me, I would have thought that someone just told you, you know, you have to get close, just stay on the edge, you know? Don't.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But I'm not sure that that's right either, you know? But it really was edge.
Well, you're right, you're right. Stop apologizing.
You know, you never know. But it was great, and that was my take on it, and that's the beauty of poetry. We all get our own takes on it. So, great job, and thank you very much, Luke. Now, next time it's supposed to go to the show it was written for before you put it somewhere else. Just saying. And away I go.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Amen. Just saying.
I'm going to read the next one.
Just saying.
I'm sure Pam's going to laugh. This is called See With Your Heart and Not the Mind by Spoken Thoughts, Chloe. And, I might want to get a drink. See with your heart, not the mind, by Spoken Thoughts, Chloe. See with your heart, not with your mind, that you would not judge people, but love them as your own. End poem. Short and sweet.
I like that. No stumbles. Great read.
Always a smart ass, I swear. Okay, now, Laurent, since you liked it, I'm going to have you comment first. How do you like that?
Well, it's hard not to fault it. She gets right to the poem, right to the point of the poem.
Yep.
See with your heart, not with your mind. And that you would not judge people, but love them as your own. It's very biblical, very spiritual, and very concise and very precise and a great prevocation.
Absolutely. Well, great comment. Now, Pam, you've got to comment long enough that I can type something.
I was just going to say, yeah, what Lauren said, but...
Oh, my God.
You know what? I thought this really was a nicely written brevity. I do like the spiritual message in it and how it speaks on loving people for their beautiful spirits. Rather than for what they look like, if we just take time to really focus on a person's spirit and their inner qualities and become attracted to that as far as any relationship, friendships, romantic and otherwise, we would find ourselves with a lot better quality of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So excellent, right? By Spoken Thoughts by Chloe, and very well done. And I hope you're a fast typer, Gene.
Oh, yeah. Thank God you're a slow talker.
I thought it was a
great take on the prompt. I told you to talk slow. You're doing a fine job. Great take on the prompt. And love others as we love ourselves is a wonderful message to share with everybody. So I want to thank Spoken Thoughts for sharing with us in the contest. That's the first time I've seen her work, and hopefully we'll see some more of it. So thank you very much. See that? Just long enough, Pam. That was good. That was good. Let me see now. Okay. Now, Pam's not going to talk to me, but we put the next piece up for Pam, which is called Pearl by Ben Hart.
All right. And no, love, you never had a father. It was just a bad dream. You have no bruises that marbled into coffee and cream. You can't be harmed. You can't be broken. This world couldn't be that dark because every night starlight spoke to it. And no, love, there never was a flood. Our house is still standing, and you don't need them back. Everything you forgot, you just need some... Need another happy landing. So come down, love, from the endless black. But if you feel like running, if you feel you need to fly, baby, it's okay to need something. It's okay to leave me behind. Because I've done it then, and I'll do it now, just love you in my mind. You cannot be lost, because anywhere would welcome you.
with open eyes and beats of the heart. There's only love. Beneath all the blue you're flying through, can't you see? These golden streets, they run so far. And no, love, you could never make me leave, because every time I walk out that door, I die. So keep your head up to greet them, all the things my tide brings to shore, and keep your goodbyes alive. You'll never have to spend them on me. I'll be here always. I'll be your never-lorn, the one you don't even see, never your darling, just the man at the door. And love, I know you're at war. I just want you to know also you're not fighting alone, not anymore, never again, between these hands. But if you feel like running, if you feel you need to fly, baby, it's okay to need something. It's okay to leave me behind, because I've done it then, and I'll do it now. Just love you till I die. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
Oh, yeah. A terrific read, Pam. I'd like to know how come she gets all the short men hearts. Okay. Yeah. And no love, you never had a father. It was just a bad dream.
Oh,
you got no bruises that marbled into coffee and cream. Right off the bat, he lets us know the situation of this woman, of this young girl. And yet he says you can't be harmed, you can't be broken. This world couldn't be that dark. In other words, to me, imagination refuses to believe it. Now, the next stanza, I'm just a little confused. Maybe you can help. And no love, there never was a flood. Our house is still standing, and you don't need them back. I'm a little uncertain as to what goes on there. But this seems to be a heart that beats for another in a way that is very, very affirming and willing to stand off to the side, yet be in touch, because it doesn't seem to me as if he's going to be the main man. You never have to spend them on me. I'll be here always. I'll be your never lorn, the one you don't even see, never your darling. Just the man at the door. In other words, right there, supportive when she needs it. And willing to let her fly if she needs to run. This is not trying to hold on to her too tight. And, you know, it's all right to leave me behind, because I've done it before. I'll do it now. Just love you till I die. A beautiful love poem, it says. Very supportive.
Yeah. Great comment, Laura. Very much so. Looking at this and I thought, what an interesting, take on the prompt, And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, he could have written anything to this. Because it's see with your heart. See with Ben Hart. Okay, so he could get away with anything tonight on this one. pretty interesting concept for that.
I just realized his name is Arnout Vanderplug.
I know.
Ben Hart works.
That's right. But I think... And love, I know you're at war. I just want you to know also you're not fighting alone. Not anymore. Never again between these hands. But if you feel like running, if you feel you need to fly, maybe it's okay to need something. It's okay to leave me behind, because I've done it then and I'll do it now. Just love you till I die. Wonderful. Ending to this piece. I'm here for you no matter what. And, as for that line you quoted, Laurent, never your darling. I may never be the main person in your life, but I'm here, and I think that's pretty good statement there. So excellent, Ben, and thanks for sharing with us. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely stunning. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I love how it speaks on the idea as you were saying, of always being there for someone, loving them from a distance and being there for them should they decide to return, but also being content with the idea that they may not return. And that's all right, because you want them to do what's best for them. You want them to be happy in their own way. I like the power of the lines. You can't be harmed. You can't be broken. This world couldn't be that dark, because every night starlight spoke to it. And no love, there never was a flood. Our house is still standing, and you don't need them back. Everything you forgot, you just need another happy landing. So come down, my love, from the endless black. And then, you know, all the way through, just the idea of letting somebody be the creep spirit they are, letting them do the kind of healing that they need to do, and just, you know, being there for them should they choose to come back. So a beautiful emotive write and very well done.
Amen. All right. Well, you guys are making it easy. You know, good stuff. Really great comments.
Well, you can go first next time, how's that?
Sure, I'm going to read the next piece. See?
It's got to be four lines.
Nope, it's six. No.
It's okay.
Another short one. But I'm trying to get through them.
Spanker Pam, you're closer to her than I am, somehow.
You know what? I just have a feeling you'd enjoy watching me spank her, so no, I won't be doing that.
No, I wouldn't enjoy it. I would commiserate. I would be empathic, you know?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. And you're closer. Wisconsin's much closer to Pennsylvania than New York is. Sure. Okay, Laurent.
Well, if it's as a crow flies, okay.
Okay, so this poem is called Nose the Child by Joe Colt. Did I put it up on the board? Probably not. I don't even know if I did. Isn't that awful?
You're so easily distracted.
I know. Yes, I did. I put it up on the board. It's called Nose the Child by Joe Colt. To breathe without worries of losing the air. To root without jealousies of sharing the earth. To grow without fear of inevitable decay. This is to know freedom and home. See. And I was supposed to comment first. I think these are wonderful words. And I think that it was well written. I guess this is the perspective of what you see with your heart. The lessons learned and the ways to know how to, what works best. You know, the things that make life better, I guess. And I think that it was just a nice take on the prompt, and very different. Again, completely different place than what I would have thought. I said, am I keeping you awake?
No, I'm wide awake.
No word. Nice work, Joe, and thank you very much for sharing with us. Great piece. And, you know, Laurent, would you like to go next?
Well, Nose the Child really says it. Freedom is freedom from worry. When you're a child, you don't know the pitfalls of life with no real way of anticipating some of the pain that you're going to face as an adult. So you're not burdened with the constant background of life. As a child, you're invited to learn about the world, learn about its wonder, watch butterflies, play with frogs, feed the cat, walk the dog. All the little things that a child does without fear. And this is to know freedom. I absolutely agree.
Nice. And Pam, how's it going?
This is absolutely beautiful. I have to say, this is a brilliant brevity, how it uses imagery and metaphors to speak on the idea of sharing the gifts of nature and finding that freedom therein, but also on the idea of, you know, that a child should be raised without having to worry, without having fear. You know, children should be protected, and the future should be protected for them. And one line just blends seamlessly into the next, that you truly got to appreciate the right as a whole. So very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And the next piece I'm going to put up, Laurent, I'm going to put this up for you to read. And this is by Scott Sharp, and it's called Heart of a Child. So whenever you're ready.
Heart of a Child. Artists of the abstract close their eyes, drawing lines, weaving, winding amongst the redwoods, hours dripping paint like sap, raining down images, hidden, hiding amongst willows and wonders, exposing beauty like a child, a tree under the canopy of the forest, and poem.
Nice reading, Ryan. Pam, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, that was a wonderful read. This is beautiful. You know what I love about this show and this contest is the fact that this one prompt has gotten so many different responses, you know, and from personal to abstract to realism. I mean, there's just, it's wonderful to see the different responses. And, you know, I love the imagery and metaphors in this. And I thought it's really a thoughtful brevity on how the artist that finds form within the abstract is the same idea as the child who finds the inner beauty of a tree. And I really like this all the way through. But I did love the mention of the redwood, weaving, winding amongst the redwood towers, dripping paint like sap, raining down images. But wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
Sorry, I'm scrambling here. Yeah, what drew me is the close their eyes. Artists of the abstract close their eyes, drawing lines, weaving, winding amongst the redwoods, towers. And all of a sudden, we moved into a portion of the poem that manages to wonderfully recreate the act of watching an artist daubing colors onto his canvas that seemed very abstract in the beginning. But then, as he continues to paint, adding touches, adding lines, adding colors, shading shadows, we see hiding the beauty of willows and wonders, and you discover them in the painting in the same manner as a child does when he's under a tree, under the canopy of the forest. At least that's what I see. Excellent piece.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought it was a really great take on the prompt, and I thought it was full of wonderful imagery. I wasn't too sure where I wanted to start this because I want to pick up the whole poem and move it. But towers, dripping paint like sap, raining down images, hidden, hiding, amongst willows and wonders, exposing beauty like a child, a tree under the canopy of the forest. He spoke about the redwoods earlier. I guess that maybe I should have got that line too. But the redwoods are such massive trees and so huge that when you other trees underneath of them look dwarfed, that's all I could imagine when I was reading this. And I thought, what a cool image. So it was really a wonderful picture painted, you know, no puns intended there, and an excellent job. So thank you so much, Scott, for this piece. I appreciate the share. And Pam, I got you, right? Please tell me yes. I don't want to see
yes. The picture. Yes, you did.
Very good. Very good. Very good. And that is not one. Oh, Yes, yes, it is. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put this next one up for you, I think.
All right.
Yes, the next one. This is by Liquid Mind Forever called Battlefields. So, if you would be so kind.
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
The heart is a broken warrior, shielded with words of denial, guarded with swords of defensive banter, bargaining for its life among the newborn fallen sparrows, which drops from the sky and melts like a first snowflake. Tainted mind and heart do battle. One walks straight into the fire. The other paints by numbered memories, rants and raves at the grave. Chained to emotions, slaves to commotion, gone local without potent quotient. Each ventricle, each aorta, each mirrors our conglomerate blockage, stops the flow of blood from the gut, lying like shrapnel on the battlefields of forgotten dreams, misbegotten misfits, bullets popped, dropped out, stamped out, the heart. A conflagration, megawatt power lines, it's inclined to mine or mind its source. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
What a brilliant ending to this piece. The heart, a conflagration, megawatt power line, disinclined to mine or mind its source. Disinclined to get to the bottom of it. Or even care where it comes from. At the beginning, the heart is a broken warrior, shielded with words of denial, guarded with swords of defensive banter. How true is that? How often have we seen that same defensive banter? The shield between you and whoever you're talking with, or you and life, when you don't want to show your sorrow, and all of a sudden, and that the third line is genius, too. Bargaining for its life among the newly born fallen sparrows. These are the people who have just suffered heartbreak, and they are the newborn fallen sparrows dropping from the sky. It's a wonderful metaphor. I really admire this piece.
Yeah. Nice comment. Nice comment. Yeah, this is a great piece by Deborah. When you read the last few lines of that, I thought to myself, well, see with your heart, to mine or mind its source. Your heart is, she just gets into so much detail. Let's put it that way. The first stanza, tainted, mind and heart do battle. One walks straight into the fire. The other paints by numbered memories, rants and raves at graves, chained to emotion, slaves to commotion, gone loco without potent potion. Her wordplay is always great in her pieces. Sometimes it gets me all turned around, but, hey, it's me. But definitely a well-written piece and, a great entry into the contest. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this one's absolutely beautiful. It's really got an emotional intelligence to it. A wonderfully written vignette. I like how it speaks on the idea of a heart that's learned to put up its defenses and to protect itself from the pain experienced in the past, and sometimes those defenses come in the form of humor and banter, sometimes sarcasm, other times, having that guarded personality, almost like, having a wall up. And then I really thought there was powerful imagery in lying like shrapnel on the battlefields of forgotten dreams, misbegotten misfits, bullets pop, dropped out, stamped out, the heart, a conflagration, megawatt power lines. I mean, all the way through, this is just an amazing write on how in putting up so much defenses, we really murder the possibility of having emotional connections with other people. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely.
Great comment.
Absolutely. Absolutely, both of you. Wonderful. Okay, so coming back over here. I'm going to read the next one. This is called The Knowing Heart by Casey Todd. And let me put this one up. If I can find that button. There it is. Lots of buttons. Okay. The Knowing Heart by Casey Todd. And the sightless child feels the world surrounding him. Textures are like colors to the hands moving across the rough bark of trees and dry, cracking leaves. The hand feels everything, but the heart sees emotions, inspired by all the hands behold as they caress cheeks. Laughingly splash water, hold fragrant flowers, deeply sniffed, tickle the furry belly of a puppy, trace the pattern of the living room wallpaper, and wrap around a mug of hot chocolate. The heart sees compassion, joy, awe, love, curiosity, and pleasure. No one is truly blind if hands can feel colors and the heart can see a rainbow of emotions that end in potted gold and fulfillment and home. Pam, you want to kick off on this one?
Yes. You know what? I love that this is another unique take on the prompt. Until I read this poem, I hadn't thought of the idea of perceiving the child in the picture as being blind. But, you know, it was like one of those aha moments. I was like, yeah, you know what? I get that. I can see how that would be a possibility. And I think by having the opening line be, as a sightless child feels the world surrounding, you know, it opens up the so many possibilities for the poem to introduce different textures and different ways that things would feel to a child. It kind of makes you think of Helen Keller and her teacher Anne, whose last name I forget. But it makes me think about reading about their experiences together. I really enjoy and appreciate the imagery in this, especially laughingly splash water, hold fragrant flowers, deeply sniff, tickle the furry belly of a puppy. You know, I mean, those are just the kind of images that make you smile. And I really like how this speaks on the idea that a person doesn't just have eyes to see. They have a heart and they have hands to see with also. So very well done.
Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
The Knowing Heart is incredibly moving. The lines, textures are like colors to the hands. The hand feels everything, but the heart sees emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like tickle the furry belly of a puppy. Trace the pattern of a living room wallpaper. Wrap around a mug of hot chocolate. Speaks so much to a universe we don't inhabit. It's the universe of a heart that sees emotion and hands that see colors. The concept, just kind of took my breath away. It's such an easy poem to write.
Absolutely. I think this is just an excellent piece. And I'm with you, Pam. I never actually thought about that child being blind in that image. But, you know, when you hear this poem and you think about the image, you know, it is possible. It doesn't show you anything different there. But, you know, the eyes are closed. So you have to kind of see with your heart in different ways. But I love this take on it. I thought it was just very well done. And it was clever and it was creative. But it also was, I want to say it, it had a lot of true emotion in it and true thoughts, you know. And I really, you know, I just really think it's fabulous. So, Casey Todd, thank you so much for writing for this contest. And I love your take on the prompt. Just amazing. These pieces, I'll tell you, it is amazing, Pam, that they're coming in from all different directions. Kind of I shouldn't say it's surprising because that's not really what I want to say with it, but really clever just the same. Now, Laurent, I'm going to have your piece up next, and then we're going to come back on down the line. And this piece is called Emphatic Encounter by Laurent Yvonne. There you go, whenever you're ready.
Why am I not seeing it?
Yeah, because you're not seeing it with your heart.
Yep. Okay, he said. It was only the third time I refreshed. Must be a little slow down and burping.
You're ready?
Empathic encounter. I once saw with my eyes all there was to see encompassing nature, ignoring humanity, ego ascendant, wither humility. Never as smart as I thought, comeuppances began to mount. Failure to learn from failure. So many false starts, I lost count. One day, a knock on the door, the oddest-looking stranger. Fate here, he says with a rasp. No worries, mate, no danger. Bearer of ill tidings, it's true. It's fate, I can see what's to come. Sent chills up my spine, your world in design. Basically, leaving you numb. In closing your eyes, can you see? Can you feel the love in the air? It's carried on winds all around you. Learn to see with your heart if you dare. As a child, you loved trees, earth, green fields, and blue sky. Swam like a fish in the ocean, Pisces, stubborn, why? Put your hand on a heart. Feel the pulse and the beat. Learn the soul, see the mind of the first stranger you meet. To share pain, shedding sorrow, with the rain from your cheeks, you need empathic encounter. So yes, now is the time, not next week. Learn to see with your heart, from childhood to elder to death. You'll seldom betray its truth. Beating for others, you draw your last breath. And
great writing, Laurent. Good read. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Yeah, I think this is an absolutely wonderful write. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how you wrote from the perspective of the personification of fate, of destiny, perhaps like a man of wisdom coming to the door and speaking to both the grown man and the inner child and reminding them of the importance of embracing those things that you loved as a child, of caring for the world, caring for other people, and knowing from your first breath to your last breath that truly love is the most important thing. And I do really like, as a child, you loved trees, earth, green fields, and blue sky, swam like a fish in the ocean of Pisces, discovering why. Put your hand on a heart, feel the pulse, know the beat, learn the soul, see the mind of the first stranger you meet. So it's not just about loving people you know. It's about loving the people that you have the opportunity to get to know. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Pam. Thank you.
You know, Laurent, this is a great piece. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, I didn't know you were writing for tonight, so that was wonderful.
I didn't need it until about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a great surprise. You know, gosh, put your hand on a heart, feel the pulse, know the beat. Learn the soul, see the mind of the first stranger you meet. You go to jail doing that stuff. I want you to know that, okay? Put your hand on somebody's heart. Just once.
Smart ass.
I know. You share pain, shedding sorrow with the rain from your cheeks. You need empathic encounter. So, yes, now's the time, not next week. You know, sometimes you just need somebody to understand. Absolutely. And sometimes you just need to be the one to understand. You know, it's kind of, it goes both ways sometimes. Learn to see with your heart from childhood to elder to death. 'Twill seldom betray its truth, beating for others till you draw your last breath. Beautiful lines, and so well said. You know, the beginning was great, but I really like the end. It's like this had a, in my mind, it had a buildup of thought throughout. And I think it really got a little deeper the further down the pike you came, you know. It was just,
yeah,
it was good, but it got better and better and better. And I, you know, I appreciate
it. It got betterer,
yes. I figured I...
It was published without the assistance of my my editor, who's absent.
It doesn't need an editor. It's fine the way it is, honestly. It truly is. And I like the buildup in it, because I think it kind of eases you into the thought. You know, you have some of it in the beginning, and then the further you go, the more you see in it. And I think that's what I like about it. So, excellent piece, and really enjoyed it. And thanks for writing for it.
Thanks, Jean. Thank you.
Awesome source. Wow. But, yeah, just remember that, though. Don't just go putting your hand on the heart of someone you don't know. Okay?
Well, the heart is basically between the breasts on the breastbone itself, so no harm.
Nowadays, they want to put you in jail for touching their arm. Okay? Be careful.
Pam, you wouldn't turn me in for touching you your arm.
No, well, you know, I guess it depends on how you are touching my arm, but I wouldn't send you jail. I just like give you a really
hard. Well, It would be by the fingers, bringing it slowly to my lips in an honorable bow.
Oh well, yeah, that I definitely wouldn't put you in jail for.
Okay. Just wanted to know.
Oh my God!
Now, people have gone
insane. Pam, don't encourage them. Okay, you can only encourage.
No,
them
I mean you can build up a lot of urges in jail. I don't want to get sent to jail.
He has to have bail money set aside before you encourage his behavior.
We need to start a GoFundMe.
Oh my God! I'm starting to say right about the three of us here tonight. I don't know what it is. Let me see what I have here.
Come on, this is high quality entertainment for free.
I know. Now, Pam, I have a poem for you to read. Say.
All right.
It's always a method to my madness. And this one is called Dawn's Blazing Sunrise by Louie Wildhouse. So whenever you're ready.
Whispering through each falling leaf, twisting golden fiery changes, folding as warm entwined, fingers to a soft bed of unforgotten memories, sun rays glisten upon morning dew as teardrops of love express themselves in rays of kissed thoughts. Tender snapshots, my pressed lips taste your full lips, quivering with your name, living with the heartbeats of flowing time. Surrendering to the melodies of the songbirds, happily chirping on breezy waving branches, rhymes silent in messages, swaying poetry unpainted. My heart sees the blazing moonlight where conversations laced in ruby wine giggles as stars twinkle in silver smiles. Night dreams I pen my longing, the gravity of my heart etching, sketching charcoal unread lines, tucked, pressed, colored wild blooms. Midnight's expressings lovingly fall as stardust upon your sea eyelashes and salted drops. Fragrant flowers press your lips. Place your hands in the empty sky. My kisses as you gaze deeply in their ebony darkness, the lonely moon's reflection. Dawn's sunrise reveal love's inner heart. dove wings glitter, breaths of heart's devotion, end poem.
Great read, Pam. Great read. And Laurent, I'm coming to you.
I don't have my comment done yet. Can you come back, please?
Okay. Well, I guess that means I'm under the bus. It's okay. I'll get even. Wonderful, wonderful imagery throughout this, and a great metaphor as well. I think that surrendering to the melodies of the songbirds happily chirping on breezy, waving branches, rhymes silent in messages, swaying poetry unpainted. My heart sees the blazing moonlight where conversations laced in ruby wine giggles as stars twinkled in silver smiles. She definitely paints a wonderful image throughout here. And such pleasantries in her words. Just really excellent piece. I like Night Dreams. I pen my longing, the gravity of my heart etching, sketching charcoal on red lines, tucked press-colored wild blooms. Just beautiful. But Lou always has such wonderful imagery in her work. And this is different than a lot of the things that she does, right, that I usually see, you know. And I think that it was just a fabulous take on the prompt. So, wonderful job, Lou Yu, and thank you very much. And, Laurent, are you ready or you want me to go to Pam?
Pam,
can I get you to comment on this piece? Remember, he did it too.
Oh, absolutely. This was beautiful and brilliant. I love how it speaks on those bittersweet memories that come from the heart of love and devotion and loss. I really like the emotional quality in Night Dreams. I pen my longing, the gravity of my heart etching, sketching charcoal unread lines, tucked pressed colored wild blooms. I really appreciate the imagery in the beginning of sunrays glisten upon morning dew as teardrops of love express themselves in rays of kissed thoughts. You know, it always seems like those kind of memories just always come flooding back at the very beginning of the morning or, you know, as you're falling asleep at night. So wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Okay, Laurent, your turn. You're up. Nowhere else to go.
Yeah, right. No, that's good. I'm putting an exclamation point on the last sentence. This is a beautiful expression of love in untarnished ink. My heart sees the blazing moonlight where conversations laced in ruby wine, giggles as stars twinkled in silver smiles. Night dreams, I pen my longing, the gravity of my heart etching, catching charcoal on red lines, tucked, pressed, colored wild blooms. I can't. Beautiful expressions of love. A use of nature wending its way to the romantic garden of the heart, alive with dawn's sunrise. I thought it was perfectly cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful, as always, for Lou's work. Awesome. Now, Pam, what's happening, man?
Well, I would like to welcome Jody Melton to the show. Welcome, Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Join us.
I'm glad to be here.
That's good.
Hey, Jody.
How are you guys doing tonight?
So far, so good.
Better now that you called.
All right.
Doing good.
I was hoping to make it. I was running late tonight, but of course. But, yeah, that's I just got to listen to that last poem. That was a great one.
You can feel free to comment if you'd like.
Yeah, she did. I feel like she did a great job expressing her emotions through her imagery. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's our Lou. Absolutely. Yeah, great comment. Now, I'm going to put your piece up next, Jody, just so you can read it.
Oh, okay. I get to read it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm very good at karaoke, so we'll try the reading.
That's a little slower. No music.
Well, thankfully, we don't ask you to do karaoke until you've called in for at least 3 times. We never make that a first call thing.
That's right. You don't have to turn it out with the music in the background or anything. It's pretty. It's a little easier.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay, this is called The Heart's Eye by Jody Milton.
Let me find it real quick. All right. Okay, let's see. Here we go. All right. Believing in a world of wonder, this picture paints. A child with eyes closed, a soul awakes. One hand on a tree, roots deep and grand. The other over the heart, an attentive stand. With closed eyes, he learns to truly see beyond what his eyes perceive. With a deep breath and stillness, his heart is set free. In silence, he listens to nature's voice, an offer of love, a heartfelt choice. The tree stands tall, a wise and patient guide. Its whispers of wisdom in the boy it confides. Connecting through touch, he feels his mind, body, and soul. Nature's embrace makes him feel whole. With a touch of innocence and pure grace, he finds beauty in each little space. For in his heart, the world comes alive, a place where dreams and hopes can thrive. Oh, to see the world through a child's heart, where love and kindness shall never depart. In this picture, a lesson to learn. In part, that seeing our heart is truly life's beautiful art.
Nice reading. Right,
end poem. That wasn't too hateful.
No, and see, you got the end poem part down too. That's pretty good.
I did, yeah.
You've been practicing. Okay.
Probably should have, yeah.
Laurent, you want to start us off? Ruh-roh.
I could say again, I'm not finished my comment for this. All right. I will take my turn with good grace. With a touch of innocence and pure grace, he finds beauty in each little space, for in his heart the world comes alive, a place where dreams and hopes can thrive. Personally, I think you found a place in the heart of any reader. For this right, you express so beautifully that the child sees. Believing in a world of wonder, this picture paints a child with eyes closed, the soul awakes. That was absolutely beautiful. And I like the personification of the tree. Stands tall, a wise and patient guide, its whispers of wisdom in the boy it confines. You handle the transference of energy between the tree and the child and the tree, each receptive to the other with you know, with a flare almost, it's as if you were a bystander looking and hearing exactly what was going on between the two. Congratulations on this piece, and I hope this won't be the last time you call the radio.
Oh, no, I enjoy it. I listen every night.
Oh,
congratulations, and thank you.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, I'm very glad that Jody called in. And, yes, I now am looking forward to hearing from you more in the future. You know, maybe you can join Rex and I on an after midnight show if you stay up that late or any one of our shows. And,
I do.
You know, very cool. But, yeah, I'm glad you called in to read this. I'm very thankful for your support of the shows. And I love how this is about that communication between the child and the tree. And there's such a wonderful philosophy to this, and the idea that we all need to see with the heart of a child and learn from the wisdom of a tree. And I love how it's this communication between the tree and the child. And there doesn't necessarily have to be words spoken to in order to communicate. It's like Lawrence was saying, it's about that transference of energy. I really like the tree stands tall, a wise and patient guide. It whispers of wisdom, and the boy confides. Connecting through touch, he feels his mind, body, and soul. Nature's embrace makes him feel whole.
wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you.
Very fun. Yeah, Jody, what they said. No, I'm kidding.
Right.
Although, you know, basically, I mean, they really did. They nailed it. Laurent and his transference energy was a great statement. Pam really had some great lines that she picked out. You know, and I, you know, kind of go down the same line with the two of them with this transference because, you know, I love how you were bearing witness to the sharing between the boy and nature. I won't just say the tree, but the boy and nature. And there was wonderful imagery all the way through. These are the two stanzas that I kind of really liked. Although I liked them all, but these were like ones that stood out. With closed eyes, he learns to truly see beyond what his eyes perceive. With a deep breath and stillness, his heart is set free. In silence, he listens to nature's voice, an offer of love, a helpful, heartfelt choice. The tree stands tall, a wise and patient guide. It whispers of wisdom, in the boy it confides. Connecting through touch, he feels his mind, body, and soul. Nature's embrace makes him feel whole. I love those two. I think that they kind of were the heart of everything, but I really feel that you did a great job all the way through. So excellent work, and thank you so much for sharing. Really great.
Oh, thank
job.
You. Yeah, it's one of them rites. You know, I just got kind of got like a lump in my throat and got into the peaceful energy.
Yeah.
And went with it.
You really you can feel the emotion in your writing.
Yeah, I try to get myself into that, you know, energy when I write and try to have people feel what I feel, right?
Right. That's,
well, we see what's in your heart. That's great.
Pretty good.
Absolutely.
Feels good, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something about putting those words down on paper and in such a way that everybody else can kind of feel it too. It just is satisfying. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Laurent, that's going to bring me back to you. I have a read for you by Vinrit 33, and it's called Their Special Place. So, whenever you're ready.
Their Special Place. It was a nice day, cool and dry. Not so nice for this poor little guy. His look says he wants to cry. Is he grieving for a pet that died? He stands there so young, so inconsolate, more so than any kid his age should get. I learned later that it was much worse. Bobby got the bad news from his mom, a nurse. The night before she worked in the ER, they brought in a patient hit by a car. It was Bobby's best friend, Jake. Tragic news for young Bobby to take. When they played, the treehouse was home base. Their playing started, ended, their special place. And so.
Oh, that hurt. That hurt. Jody, do you want to start us off on this one?
Wow, that was pretty tragic. I think he did a great job with the imagery of such a tragic event. I'm sure it was very meaningful to him to remember such an incident like that. I think we've all probably had those in our life with friends. It's good to get it out, release the energy. And I think he did a great job with that, for sure.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes hard for me to tell if somebody's writing from a story perspective or if it's based on a true event, because this is one of those things that sadly does happen.
Right.
And it's one of those poems where it's so vivid and so painful that a part of me really just hopes it's a story, right? But if it isn't, you know, either way, it's brilliance in the way it's presented with the straightforward style. You know, I remember I had a friend in grade school whose brother died in a car accident when we were like in grade school, and his mother was the ambulance driver, you know, one of the first responders first on the scene.
Jesus.
And to this day, I think of that and, you know, think of what it must have been like. Be the first responder to your son's car accident.
And this
is just one of those poems that really hits hard, because it's talking about death with a child, especially when it's someone the same age as them, you know, can be a very difficult thing. So wonderful presentation of a difficult subject, and very well done.
Absolutely. And Laurent, how about you?
Oh, my Lord, I was so lost in what Pam just said. The whole thing passed right in front of my eyes. Like I was watching a movie, I got totally lost in it. I think that's a real result of what Pam mentioned, is a straightforward style. You know, it's no use of florid language or purple prose or deeply emotional, wrenching, just simplicity of what happened. This is not a poem that is designed to delight with wordplay. This is designed to convey emotion. And it does so very directly with the impact of a punch in the solar plexus. That ending. It's a wonderful share.
Yes, I agree. You know, the first thing I put down here was, ouch. It hurt.
Mm.
You know, it was a great emotional piece by Ben. I'm so used to his humor pieces that I never expected to go this direction. But it was a good take of the prompt, because when you look at the prompt, you know, when you're reading this and you look at that boy, you can see where he would find that pain in that boy's expression and his stance, like he had just gotten kicked in the chest. And I think that he really captured something in that image. It wasn't where I would have thought to go, but very a great capture just the same. And I thought it was a good take on that prompt, and I thought it was well done, but so painful. I mean, and Pam, I can't imagine ever having that happen where you were the first responder to, no, not me.
Your
training
one
just to back
things,
it up. You know, and no matter what you do, anything went wrong, I think you'd never forgive yourself, and you'd be saying, what if I? That's an ugly place to be, you know, at least in my mind. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the beauty of poetry. You know, we deal with joy and pain and, you know, wonder, and then we throw in some words with it. And it's very therapeutic.
Yes, it is. And
you're right.
It's not as therapeutic to the one writing it as to the one receiving it.
Right.
A lot of the person that writes it is the person that has already been through it and survives, for the most part, you know. And when we write it down, it kind of gives somebody a perspective or a thought. And a lot of the times it just makes people feel less alone. And I think that's always wonderful, too. So, anyway, I talk too much. The next piece I'm going to put up, I'm going to read. How many lines, Laura?
Three.
No. No, you're wrong again.
Three long lines.
You're going to read it in the Turkish, right?
That's right, I'm going to read it in Turkish. That's going to make it even better. Thanks, Pam. I needed your help. I'll drop it into Google and I'll just put my phone against it. That's the best you're going to get from me when it comes to Turkish. I have no idea.
You got to read this in the original Turkish. Come on. Be brave.
Oh, my God. You're so funny. Yeah. The moment after you left.
You're so funny. Love you long time. Sorry.
It's the second time I've heard that tonight.
First one was in person, no doubt. No.
Okay. Yeah, no, a buddy at work.
It's
in the air. I'm telling you, it's in the air. Usually I say it's a water cooler at LNP, but I don't know. We stepped outside the realm of that in this.
Dr. Timothy Leary is long gone.
The moment after you left, by Hakan Seva. A word that touches my heart, parting word, I'm back where I promised. I'm neither more nor less. I'm where you left me. You are young. Do you understand? I'm somewhere with my heart. A little crazy like you like. I'm in a state of tears. End quote. Laurent, would you like to comment on that? In Turkish, of course.
Well, I would, but in deference to the radio audience, that might leave them in an awkward position of not understanding, so I will continue in English. the title, The Moment After You Left, kind of tells the story. I'm somewhere with my heart, a little crazy, like you like. I'm in a state of tears. Well, yeah, when your loved one walks out the door, odds are there's going to be a tear shed or two, a little crazy like you like. Makes me wonder whether or not it was a person he loved who liked to keep him off balance. A little crazy, in other words. Now, he says, you are young. Do you understand? There's an implication that he is not young, that he's a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Able to verbalize that he is neither more nor less. I'm where you left me. In other words, I'm where I was before you, but I am left in a state of tears. That's profound, I think. Great piece. Are you on mute? You owe me a buck.
You know, you owe me a buck. Yeah, I'm owing you a buck. We're even, so. Let's just leave it.
I like your counting. Yeah.
I know. Well, you actually owe me a dollar, but I let it go. Pam, how about you? Would you like to comment on this piece? In Turkish?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was a wonderful brevity. I like how it speaks to me on the idea that the heart communicates many different emotions throughout a lifetime. And kind of like how Lawrence was saying, sometimes we have to mature in order to understand what it's actually saying. I really like this all the way through, but there was something really thoughtful about the line, I am neither more nor less, I'm where you left me. Sometimes we just need time to grow and mature in our life. And those are those standing still moments when we just contemplate what's going on, and eventually we learn the lesson through the tears, through the craziness. We learn the lessons. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was very sad and touching. Like, it almost seems as if whoever left didn't come back. And it had a profound effect on his life for him to still remember that moment after he left. Yeah, that's never easy when you know, you're with someone for so long, whoever it might have been to him, and they just walk out the door on you. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. I can remember when me and my baby's mom split up, that she was 7, and man, that was the hardest day of my life to sit my daughter down and explain to her why daddy had to leave, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I definitely feel that phone very much.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, my comment on this was, parting words bring such sorrow. I thought it was a sad brevity that was well penned. You know, saying goodbye is never easy, no matter how, you know, that ending happens. And, it almost guts you, you know, in some cases. Some cases, it's like you're sending up balloons and, you know, confetti, you know, but a lot of times, you know, it's just never a pleasant thing. Sorry, that was a flashback to my first marriage.
I think we all have those.
Pretty much, you know, we have something. But I really think it was just nicely done by Hakan. And, you know, again, you know, you look at that boy in that image. And it can be painful looking, like, you know, that expression. instead of deep contemplation or something that seems more spiritual and moving, it could be a look of sadness and pain. So another, you know, great take on the prompt. Clever piece. Let me see. What do I have sitting around here? Oh, damn, what is going on? Okay. And then that one and that one. And Pam, I'm going to give you this next one to read. Well, that's just my, never mind, my computer won't let me do that, so I'll do it over here. Okay. This is called See With Your Heart by Teresa Streschen.
It takes a real special person to have the innocent ability to see with your heart, not just your eyes. To be able to see past what you visually see when you open your eyes up. You open up your eyes to see past the ignorance and demise. To truly see the world with not just your eyes, but see blindly with your heart and trust and love from the very start. It's a pretty rare ability for anyone to possess, but if you're lucky enough to be that one, take it and go for a run. End poem.
There you go. Nice read, Pam. And Jody, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, I definitely think she hit the nail on the head with that one. It is truly a blessing to have such a big heart that you're able to display it and share it with everyone. You know, we share suffering, share joy and blissfulness. To be able to do that through your poetry, that's pretty amazing. I like that.
And Laurent, how about you?
To be able to see past what you visually see, when you open up your eyes to see past the ignorance and demise, you can look at a person and never know what's inside of them. But your heart, you see, you have to learn to trust it. Now, the poet says to see blindly with your heart. I take that to mean see without eyes, not to see and not pay attention and be blind and get in trouble, but to communicate with your heart and what your heart tells you. Trust and love from the very start. It is a rare ability for people to possess. And I think the happiest ones are the ones who offer love. They receive love. The last sentence almost has a little bit of humor in it, but if you're lucky enough to be that one, take it and go for a run. It's almost like, you know, getting handed the keys in here. Go take it for a test drive. See how you like this. Like it. Can be yours. And it's true. Once you take it out for that test drive, so to speak, and you get the feedback, well, that's it.
Absolutely. Well, great comments, everybody. Nice piece, Teresa, and thanks for sharing with us. And I'll tell you what, I think I can squeak one more in here, believe it or not. And this is called Open Your Heart and See by Jenny the Deep. Seeing isn't always with your eyes. Sometimes it's best to see with your heart and mind. Closing your eyes, shutting down all senses, will let you see new perspectives and open you up to other ways of seeing. Believe me when I say your eyes are the portal to your heart. Don't let darkness fall, making you blind to love and deaf to truth. Refusing to open your heart, all you will see is fear. Losing all you believe. And poem. Pam, I'm kicking it over to you.
All right. Well, this is absolutely a wonderful written Richtmeter style. I like how it speaks on opening yourself up to new perspectives and, you know, opening yourself up to the possibility of love, making you to let your heart, don't let darkness fall, make you blind to love and deaf to truth. You know, refusing to open your heart, all you will see is fear, losing all you believe. You know, so if we give into that fear, if we give into that anger, It's going to destroy us. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, you know, that bit about closing your eyes, shutting down all senses will let you see new perspectives. If you want to take the example of an isolation booth where you get you're floating in water, you can see it neither see nor hear. The only sensation is of being in some kind of a womb. And at that point, your mind liberates itself and the oddest thoughts begin to run through your head. And after a while, you will know yourself perhaps better than you thought you might, and open your heart and lose the fear. Great peace.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And Jody, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked this. I thought she did a great job transitioning from in the beginning from a meditative state into, you know, ending in like a vulnerable state. Which is absolutely right. You know, you need to have your heart open, because if it's closed, darkness will fall in there. I thought that was a great piece. You did a very good job.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I think that Jenny did a great job with this piece. I thought it was, I thought it was well put together, and there's a lot of truth. You know, you have to learn to open your heart. If you don't, it gets kind of rough. It really does. We lose a lot of our compassion and everything else when we do that. And that's never good. So, I mean, that's one thing that's really important. But believe me when I say your eyes are the portal to your heart. Don't let darkness fall. Making you blind to love and deaf to truth. Very true. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you so much for sharing. Great job. And I only have one more left, and I'm just going to hang on to it till Friday, because it's 3 minutes of, and we'll never get it done and comments. So that's probably just the wisest way to do it. But, you know, great show, everybody. And Jody, thank you for calling in. Pam, thank you as always for being my twisted sister. Not everybody's doing that. And Laurent, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it very much. And a great piece, and thanks for sharing that with us. That was really a surprise. I liked it. What a great show. And, I thank everybody who participated and wrote for the contest. Everyone did a wonderful job. And, you know, it is kind of cool when you do one prompt. And then you see how many different directions that one prompt can go. Because it was pretty crazy tonight. You know, we went from sadness to joy to spirituality it was something. And I like when that happens and you look at the image and all of a sudden you start to see it a little different than what you did originally. So everybody did a fine job. It was great for everyone to share. I appreciated that. And what a good show. I like the poetry. I thought there you could sense people's hearts and souls. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Is it tomorrow morning, Pam, we have a show?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning we have Keeping It Brief at 10:30.
Yeah.
I do this every time. It's at 10:30. And, you know, anyone that's available in the morning, give it a whirl. It's 10:30 Eastern time. I have to say that. Pam and I, Stelina will be there, and Pam will be there, and Diane G. And I'm not sure if it's open poetry or if there's a direction this week.
There is a direction. It was some contest that Stelina ran with photography prompts, but I don't remember who.
Very cool. Very cool. If anyone's in Brevity Writers, that's where I think they put up most of their information for the show. So, looking forward to it.
I want to thank you all for having me, and I enjoy spending time with you wonderful people.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
And I look forward to calling in again.
Well, we're here like almost every night. Somebody's here every night, so you know, feel free anytime. You know, we're always happy to
have great.
Callers. And
I appreciate
thank you.
That.
And thank you so much. It was a great night. It was nice to have you call in. Tomorrow night, Pam is running The Art of Seduction.
Woo-hoo.
And what's
the
yeah,
that's going to be a fun show.
Wednesdays are always fun. And yep. What is the... Oh, Martini?
Pam has to show a little leg. Come on.
That's right. Martini? Wait, I've got to get this right.
Margaritas in my... Okay.
Yes. Leave it to Pam.
Yes.
And she's collecting keys at the beginning of the show because rumor has it we have an open bar. And, you know, if we're having an open bar, she's collecting the car keys because nobody's getting locked up on the way out of our show. Anyway.
That's right. Free drinks for anybody who calls in.
See that?
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Give me a straw, girl. I'll be there. Oh, my God.
Better stock up on whiskey sours.
Yeah, double that. Yeah.
I like gin and grapefruit, but I'll settle for gin martinis. I'll give it a whirl. Mm-hmm. It'll be nighty night. I won't last long, but, you know, it'll be a fun way to go. Yep, margaritas.
Good night, you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Oh, my God. Okay. Thank you, Pam.